Today, we're going hardcore. When you've made great strides in your decluttering journey, but feel you could go one step further, there are certain things that are going to take you to the next level. Now, some of these things will require a big, sharp intake of breath. In this podcast, we're going to delve into 10 things in your home and determine whether these are truly serving you in your current life and deserve a place in your home.
You're listening to the Declutter Hub podcast, bringing you tried and tested, no nonsense tips and advice from the leading experts in decluttering and organizing your home. Now, here are your hosts, Ingrid Jansen and Leslie Spellman.
Hello and welcome, listeners. I'm Ingrid.
And I'm Leslie. We're delighted you're here to join us as part of your decluttering journey. So whether you're brand new today or have been listening to us for ages, we want to say thank you so much for being here. It means so much to us that you're here to listen to and support us while we talk all things decluttering and organizing.
We'd love to help more people with their quest for a clutter-free home. And our podcast is a fantastic way for people to be inspired to take action. We have a favor to ask. If you like what you hear, be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button on your podcast player, share us with your friends, or share your thoughts on the podcast by leaving a review. Leslie, it's a 10 Things podcast. We love them. We always get very excited and always a little bit giddy. And I must admit, the list that we've created for today, oh, I feel we're going to have people emailing in.
I'm not feeling giddy. I'm feeling kind of nervous because even I'm nervous about some of these things on this list, right? We said we're going to go hardcore and that is what we're going to do. So if you're at the beginning of your decluttering journey and tuning into this podcast for the first time, this is not standard Declutter Hub stuff. This is when you really want to go to that nth degree. But even if you are right at the beginning of your decluttering journey, hopefully we'll give you some hints and tips about the types of things that you need to think about further down the line. We don't want to scare anybody off, right, Ingrid? We don't want to scare people off. So even we're like, oh, that would be like really hard. But anyway,
yeah,
we need to jump in and talk about the kinds of things that we think is hardcore decluttering.
I know. I think we should just dive in, Leslie, because we can talk about this for ages, but let's just go on with number one. Why is that CD, DVD, vinyl collection still in your house, gathering up dust, when you can let it go?
Ooh, radical.
I know.
Right, okay. So let's cut to the chase. I feel like it's like potentially a competition here. I think we might need to mark it down and do a competition.
Yeah.
So have you still got CDs and or DVDs and or vinyl in your home?
No vinyl, no CDs. Couple of DVDs left.
So yes. When you say couple, really couple?
No, not a couple. About 50.
A couple. You said a couple, and now we've gone from a couple to 50. Really?
It's not like a whole bookcase full when they're double.
50. A couple is 2/3. Well, a couple is 2, but we'll give you 3, but not 50. You're mad.
But they'll okay. Three or four boxes with about 10.
Three or four boxes, okay.
With 10.
A couple of boxes or 10, right, yeah. Okay, fine. So no CDs.
No.
You changed those all to, you went through a process, right, of downloading them all onto things. You don't even need to do that anymore, do you? Because you just get Spotify and all that. But a lot of us went through that process of keeping our original DVD collection and downloading it or whatever it's called into our own hard drives. Not necessary anymore, but it still makes a lot of people better to keep all of your old archive together rather than getting it all mixed up with the stuff that you can stream. So that CD is taken care of. So that is dealt with and that is a possibility. So we're talking about hardcore decluttering. It might fill you with fear and dread, but the nice thing about a CD collection and the DVD collection is there is an easy alternative. So this is something that you can absolutely do.
Yes. So how about you then, Leslie?
Well, I'm not responsible for CDs and DVDs in my house. My husband is. So it'll come as no surprise whatsoever that they're all still intact. He has made some inroads, but there's a long way to go. So my husband is not a man who lets things go easily. Let's just say that.
Hundreds.
Oh, yes.
And you're berating me over my 50.
No, I'm berating you over saying a couple when it was 50. I'm not berating you for having them. It's your personal choice, but it's your terminology of a couple when you mean 50. If our members said a couple when they meant 50, that's very different, right? Okay.
All right. All right. All right. Maybe we need to cut it out, Leslie.
No, absolutely not. People need to see what I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So CDs and DVDs. Yes, it is hardcore decluttering if you love it, because some people love that physical feeling of a DVD and a CD.
Yeah.
But they still take up quite a lot of space in your home. And so you really need to look at every... Today is not like you have to do these things. Today is all about evaluating the space that they're taking her up in your house and whether or not that's worth it. Do they deserve that spot in your home? Or can you take it to that next level? The bottom line is getting to that next level can be quite a big job. At the very least, you probably won't want to go to put a record together of what you had, just for nostalgic reasons, maybe. What do you think about that? Like listing things out?
I never did, which is quite unlike me, because I'm a list maker. But I was like, I just don't want to have the CDs in my house anymore. Put everything on the computer, boom, done. took a long time. This is not like was one evening. This was, we had a very big job, but we were like, okay, you know, we have to let them go.
And we talked about vinyl, right, as well. Now, vinyl is something that's come back to bite a lot of people, right? So a lot of people back in the kind of 90s, early noughties, got rid of their vinyl collection and have huge regrets now over getting rid of those, because vinyl's come back in and is coveted, really. And so do we think, and I know we can't kind of imagine what's going to happen in the future, that CDs and DVDs are going to come back as a medium?
I don't know. You know what? I don't think anybody expected vinyl to come back. I mean, we had a whole bunch of vinyl. We had a record player. At one point, I was like, right, I've been looking at this for 15 years or 20 years because it was my husband's. Please, we've done like two final records in like one per decade. Why is this still in my house? And we got rid of it. And every once in a while, it's like, oh, I wish we still had it. And like, but we still wouldn't have done it, because we stream and we listen and we'd go Spotify and Amazon Music and all of those things. And I don't know, you know.
We can get it as an alternative, but I think the vinyl is... Either the vinyl for us would be, and we still have vinyl here, it would be nostalgic value. Looks very cool, right?
Yeah.
We never play it, but it looks very cool. And also to hand it down. So Luke, for example, definitely 100% listens to vinyl, because but he does events and all that kind of stuff as well. So he would use the vinyl. I mean, my records from the 80s, I don't know about you, but I had this like tiny little record player that was smaller than the actual records themselves. And I just used to throw them around and they were all scratched and stuff. I didn't really take care of things. And so it wouldn't be something that you could play a techno event. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, so first thing on our list, CDs, DVDs, vinyl, evaluate whether or not these are serving you in your current life. And that could be the first thing on your hardcore decluttering list.
Yes. I'm already kind of breathing deeply about number two, Leslie. Oh, so number two on our list of things we want you to think about and hardcore declutter: inherited family photos, ducks under her desk and hides away from the historians that we're gonna get grief from.
I know, it's interesting. See, I actually think this is probably an easier decision than CDs, DVDs, and vinyl, because CDs, DVDs, and vinyl typically would be our memories. Yeah, they're our memories, they're our nostalgia, they're our things. We have a direct connection to those. We're talking about inherited family photos. So what I'm talking about here is not things that have got, you know, my mum on when I was with her. Do you know what I mean? I'm talking about things of your parents that are maybe their nostalgic photographs of people that perhaps you don't know, you weren't there, you had no knowledge of them going on a trip when in 1930 or whatever it was. And so memories that you have no recollection of yourself, mm-hmm. because you have not been told about those things. Of course, there is a family history element to that if you're going down that route. And that's very important to know about nostalgia and, you know, family history and genealogy and all that kind of stuff. That's a different reason. But if it's literally a holiday that someone went, that your parents went on, that you have no memory on, that don't give you a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, that you know nothing about, should we be keeping those? So I'm not saying for 1 minute that we ditch the whole family collection of photographs, but I'm saying that we look through those photos and we evaluate which are either useful from a family history perspective, yeah. or that give us memories.
Yeah, I think you're right, Leslie. I mean, a photo of a lake that my husband used to go to in 1963 in Italy with not even them on it, why would I keep that? So I think... It's you have to look at them individually. You know, you can't just say, I think what we're saying is don't keep everything, but keep the best ones. I think that's what we're saying, right? But just because this was from the family and we have to remain and keep everything, that's not true. You don't have to. You can go hardcore and go, actually, I'm going to thin this out. I'm going to keep the best of the best, where I can see my parents, where I can see my family, where I can see maybe my aunts and uncles that in a younger version that you still know. But you don't have to keep all the pictures of scenery and things that you were not even there. And the photos, you know, they're such nicer quality these days. I mean, the olden days, the photos were not fantastic, right?
And you only it depends on what you're talking about, the olden days. I mean, what are you talking about, the olden days? I'm not talking about the 70s, talking about like the 40s and stuff.
Hmm.
Like they were like, the problem is with those photos look incredible. Like they're exactly the kind of thing that you put up on your wall because they look super cool, right?
Hmm.
Whereas like, you know, those kind of 2-for-1, that you got in the 80s, not so good quality.
Yeah.
But back in the day, there was great quality photographs, weren't there? And they look really cool. That's the problem as well, is that they look really cool because there's been enough time passed by.
Yeah.
So, yeah, inherited family photos, split down that collection. And look, Ingrid's like huffing and puffing already. This is hardcore.
I know. This is like, oof. You know, I love photographs.
Photographs are not equal.
Yeah, true. I'm going to swiftly move on to number 3, Leslie. Oh my gosh, this is another one. An engagement or wedding ring from somebody that you never married, but they gave you, or somebody that you were married to, but you got divorced from.
So now I recognize this might be quite triggering for some people as well. You know, this is hard, you know, because this is wrapped up in difficult times, isn't it? You know, so... Some people go through a divorce quite amicably, but that's the exception rather than the rule most of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, divorces and or being jilted at the altar or not going through with an engagement or whatever that is hard emotional stuff to bear and brings us back to a very difficult time in our lives for the most part.
Yeah.
So do we then keep hold of the memory of that, the kind of evidence then of that? Ingrid is silent. Ingrid's silent.
I'm now thinking because I don't know if she minds me sharing this, but my mom got divorced in the 60s, which was quite unusual at the time. I don't even know if she kept the wedding. I need to ask her this actually. This might be a question for our Sunday Zoom. Oh, by the way, mom, have you still got your wedding ring?
By the way, mom, I outed you on this week's podcast. And retrospectively, can I ask you a question about your divorce that you might feel very sad about that I've let out to the world? That's what your Sunday Zoom is going to be.
I know.
Oh, well, depending on what she's saying, we might have to edit it out.
I know.
if it's still in the podcast, you know that she was okay with it.
I know. It is true. But I can't remember. I mean, I've never been with anybody else than my husband. So I don't have another wedding ring or engagement ring. It's a hard item. But on the other hand, I think if it makes you really sad, do you want to have it in your house?
Yes, I agree.
I think what the crux is, isn't it?
The thing is for me is I'm always, you know, we're not judgmental people, right? Because of the job that we do. And we understand the kind of struggles that people have through life and how they bring them to a certain point. But I'm always keen to not think what I would do, because you never know what you could do unless you've walked in someone's shoes. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know whether that's, I know of people that I have been with when I've been decluttering and they've gone, I'm ready to get rid of that engagement ring or wedding ring or repurpose it. A lot of people repurpose them so that it's not actually the ring, but it's still, you know, the value that's in that gold or diamond or whatever it is can be repurposed into something different. Mm-hmm. And people are satisfied with that, or give it back. Also possible, you know, so there's various things you can do. But I think it's really, in terms of its value to you, it's whether or not it is a triggering thing to have in your house. Same principle for number four that we're going to go on to as well, Ingrid, which is, and we see this a lot, people struggle to let go of a difficult time in their life. So we've had people going through a divorce. We're talking about divorce papers here. We're talking about legal trials that people have gone through. So maybe, I don't know, a job tribunal, you know, that kind of employment tribunal or something like that, or a difficult situation that you found yourself in where you had to do something legal about it. There's something inside us that feels as if we had such an injustice, you know, particularly if it's a messy divorce, it feels unjust. And we almost feel like we need to keep hold of the evidence that somebody did something unjust to us. To see what I mean? I think that's what I've seen over the years is that it's that kind of emotion, but I need to prove to other people that this person was so terrible to me. Then keep the divorce papers, the legal trial papers, the whatever those papers relate to as kind of evidence. But all that that does is make you sad, angry, unhappy, fearful, all of the above. So I don't know, again, because I've not encountered this kind of thing in my own personal life, but I know that when people have chosen to get rid of those things, it has been very freeing.
It's lifted this kind of pressure off their shoulders almost. It's like you can feel them, like, okay, that's behind me now, instead of staring in my face the whole time.
Once again, I want to sort of reiterate that this is what we would consider to be hardcore decluttering. So this is not something that you're just going to go, oh yeah, there's my divorce papers, bing, in the bag. That's not what we're saying. We're saying it's probably something that you're going to see again, leave again, see again, leave again. And then when you get to a stage where you feel happy in your home, very happy with what you've done, and you go, I need to do a little bit more because I'm downsizing or whatever that might be, some other impetus that's taking you to that hardcore place, that's when you're doing it. So this is not like, oh, you need to get rid of your divorce papers, by the way. We're not saying that at all. We're saying this is when you're really going to the next level of decluttering.
Oh, let's just go on quickly to number five, Leslie, which I think is like so hard as well. Unfinished craft projects. How many do we find those in our clients' and members' houses? They've started a craft. They loved it at the time. They started sometimes on a small or sometimes on a very big project, then didn't finish it because they lost interest, or they didn't have enough time, or they found another craft that they enjoyed more, or they got bored of it. You know, I mean, there's loads of reasons why people have unfinished things, but then it sits there staring at them going, I'm unfinished. When are you going to finish me? And the guilt.
When are you going to finish me? When are you going to finish me?
I know, but it's the guilt around it that is really, really hard. And I think, you know, I think lots of realism is needed, but also lots of bravery to look into yourself and go, actually, am I going to finish this? Or is this something that is just, it's like people who are reading a book they're not enjoying, and they're like forcing themselves to finish the book because they've started
it. I don't think it's the same, Ingrid. It's not the same as not finishing. A craft project is not the same as not finishing a book. To a crafter.
Okay. All right.
Next level, right? No?
I don't know. Some people with their books, they're really like, and they need to have that purpose that they finished the book, even although they've got shelves full of them. But they're like, I have to finish this one because I started it and I felt I spent the time on it.
Yeah, no, no, I get that sentiment that people do that and kind of perpetuate that. Mm. You know, I got much better at that. Same with TV series as well. You're like, I've literally invested 16 episodes, even though I hate it. I've got to do the other eight just to, you know, I've invested too much time to go backwards almost, right?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think the problem is with craft projects is that you're kind of admitting that you did it, that you fail. It's almost like admitting failure in some ways, isn't it? That's the kind of psychological impact of that. You had an aspirational idea to do this craft project, which you didn't fulfill. So therefore you feel in some strange way like you failed and you think, oh, I need to come back to that. I need to come back to it. And that's why it's so difficult to let go of.
Yeah.
So it's brave for a crafter. Mm. You know, we did a craft masterclass recently. We know the kind of, you know, the clinging on to craft projects that people have who really feel very invested in that craft.
Yeah.
So let's just do a tally before we go to a break. So out of the first five, how many have we got?
Two. DVDs lurking around, and I definitely have I don't have them inherited yet, but they're coming. My family photos.
And if they're not inherited, you can't talk about your mum's things when they're still at your mum's house.
Yeah, they are. No, then that's one. DVDs.
And I've got one. So we're one out of five.
So which one is you then? DVDs as well.
DVDs, and vinyl. We've got them all.
Yeah.
You know, bearing in mind we've never been married or divorced. That was number three and four.
Yeah.
We have been married. We've never been divorced. That was a couple of things. My family photos, I'm happy that I've gone through and taken out the ones that are truly special, and we're not crafters. So it was quite easy. One out of five. Going to the break.
Yeah. Let's go to a break. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I think I've calmed down a bit, although I am a bit worried about this next lot of number 6 and number 10. So maybe I need to do more heavy breathing just to calm myself down. But okay, let's just do number 6. Clothes that are not in your size. Hardcore decluttering. You can't fit in it. Let it go.
That scares me. That really scares me. Yeah, it is hardcore decluttering to allow yourself no leeway whatsoever. Mm. This will be an easy one for people whose weight doesn't fluctuate.
Yeah.
They're like, nailed it. Do you know what I mean? But for people like me whose weight does fluctuate, mostly in the upwards direction, if I'm being honest, the thought of not aspirationally trying to cling on to the idea that I would lose weight or, you know, squeezing into things, fills me with fear and dread, but I get it, and it would be what we talk about. We are not that hardcore in any of the ways that we declutter. You'll find this in the declutter. We're not big advocates of hardcore decluttering, so I don't even know why we're doing this podcast. We're like scared. We're scaring ourselves with the idea. But some people out there will clearly like this kind of level. You know, we've got to be all things to all people, but we're a bit more kind of warm and fluffy with our ideas, and anything goes, right? But yeah, clothes that are not in your size, I don't know what to say other than it is hardcore for people whose weight fluctuates, but it is possible, and it's something that you absolutely could do. And if you want to do what we advocate, which is only having things in your wardrobe that you can wear, then it's what needs to be done.
Yeah,
in principle, right?
Yeah. I'm going to admit I've got a couple of bits. I've got a couple of...
Like 50?
No. No, really. A handful. Yeah.
Oh, we've gone from couple to handful?
Yeah.
Any advance on handful?
No.
How many?
I've got, I think about 5.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've got a jacket that I really like that is a size too small.
Just one size?
Yeah. I've got a top. A pink top, love the color, short sleeve for the summer. And I kind of had to this year kind of go, no, can't be so that. And I've got, I think, 3 dresses that I love so much. I mean, I'm not a dress person, as you know. So if I buy a dress, I invest in it. But there's three or so in there that I'm thinking, I don't think I can fit in them. So
I think there's a difference, isn't there, between what you can fit and what looks good. Like as we get lumpy and bumpy, there's somewhere, you know, that they do fit them.
I know,
but they're not flattering. Do you know what I mean? So I can squeeze into them. I'm like, no, Leslie, no. Do you know what I mean? But you still kind of cling on that somehow it's gonna all change. But anyway, we've talked about this so many times. But yeah, that is our number six. And so we're both saying a yes to that. You're saying a couple, stroke handful, stroke five. And I'm saying more than that.
Right. Let's go on to number seven then. Letters or cards, but mainly letters and things from people who were unkind. Let it go.
Could be a text as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're back to hardcore, like emotional stuff now, aren't we? But this, again, similar to the things that we've spoken about before, like the, you know, the legal papers or the engagement ring, you know, these are things that often bring us unhappy memories. Mm-hmm. And particularly, you know, there's, you know, with a marriage or an engagement, there's happy things wrapped up in that. Do you know what I mean? With a letter from someone who is unkind, it's just unkind. And we've got these things exist around us. And they come at you like a whirlwind when you find them and set you right back if you find those things when you're on your decluttering journey. And that's why we are big advocates of letting go anything that has got bad memories only attached to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's negative, if it brings you down, you don't need that in your life. You know, life is so short. We have to make honestly the most of it and grab every moment, and all that negativity in your house, it's if that must just bring back negative energy or something. I think it's just not good for you.
Yeah, so that for me, this is a non-negotiable. I must admit, it feels hardcore to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. For me, it's you should do this, because I can't see any benefit of keeping it. What would be the benefit of keeping it other than what we were talking about before, which is to kind of prove to others how mean people have been.
Yeah.
Unless it's legal. There might be a legal reason.
Yeah.
So if there was something that you felt that it was going to, that you needed to go down a legal route at some point, I can understand that. But if it's just a generic letter, well, not a generic, but if it's just a letter with terrible things said in it, hurtful, unkind things, let it go.
Yeah. I don't think I've got any of those in my house, Leslie. I'm like, I'm now thinking back and I'm like, no, I don't think so.
I mean, if I'm being really honest, I don't think I've ever had one of those letters.
No.
Someone's been really unkind.
No, yeah.
If I'm honest.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
I can't remember it either.
But many people have, you know, you know, in the decluttering world, many people have undergone serious issues and trauma, often instigated by other people. And so that forms a big part of our world. Mm-hmm. So we count ourselves as lucky that we don't have those things.
Yeah.
But we know that it absolutely exists in our world. So think about that. These are very, very triggering things for people. So we are going to put a trigger warning on this podcast, because some of the things that we're talking about are difficult to sort of think about. But yeah.
Definitely. Good idea. Number eight, collectibles that you might have had on display at one point, or you might have collected at one point, but then you didn't anymore. You kind of maybe lost interest, or it got out of hand. You've boxed it up. You put it somewhere in your loft, in your attic, in your basement, or in your spare bedroom in the top of the cupboards. And now it's like gathering dust, taking up space. You've lost interest in it, but they're collectibles.
What was your thing that you used to collect?
Stamps.
No, it wasn't that. It was something else. It was like windmills or something. Like, it was like some...
Yeah. Windmills on stamps.
Oh, no, it was something else. You've talked about it before.
I mean, my grandmother used to collect little Maria statues. Mm. And I used to have one of those. You know, do you remember when we were young, you had these brown wooden boxes with all the little tiny shells? You could put like small little things like...
Yeah, you can still get those. Yeah. Like, they're like kind of like, I don't know, people get used, like put little printed letters in them and everything, like little tiny segments, segments and stuff. Yeah.
When you go on holiday, you can buy like a tiny souvenir, you could put it in there. That's long gone. I don't even remember when, but I had like one on my wall and I loved it. But
I'm just trying to think about what that thing was that you collect. It's definitely something like Dutch as a child.
Yeah, stamps. I collected stamps. I loved it.
I'll leave it there. Afterwards, I'm going to get you to... We've talked about it in a podcast or a Q&A or something.
Hmm.
Can't remember.
All right. I don't remember.
Maybe I'm thinking of someone else that I sit talking about these things on podcasts.
So have you, what did you collect when you were young then?
I didn't collect anything when I was young. But Steve collects stamps. And then I'm thinking about my mother-in-law collected Swarovski crystal.
My mum as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we do with these things when that collection stops being a collection and we fall a little bit out of love with it? Because the thing is that people keep on buying you these things because they know that you like them. And so you amass quite a lot and then you fall out of love with it and then it sits in the box.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we do with that?
Well, my mom took over my stamp collection. And at one point she said, I'm downsizing. I'm selling it all. Boom. Gone.
From the Janssen School of Decluttering, doesn't she? She's hardcore, isn't she?
Oh, she is hardcore. I think I salvaged one album with my windmill stamps. I think that's it.
That's the point. I think we go for quality over quantity. So we retain a reminder of that collection, choose our favourite things that remind us of what we did in the past.
Yeah.
But it's tricky when it's a collection because often it will have value.
Yeah.
Often it will be that all of these things deserve to be together and it's just the number of things that you've got that make it a worthwhile thing to have. It's tricky.
Mm.
But if it's taking up space,
at
some point...
A friend of mine collected owls. That was like, so everything, when you see something with an owl, and my aunt and uncle collected honey pots.
That's it. That's what it is, the honey pots.
I thought it was you.
All right, your aunt and uncle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I knew there was something, but it's your aunt and uncle. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And they had like hundreds. They had a whole basement with like beautiful display cases. And so when they downsized, they could only take their one display case with their most coveted ones and everything else went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a hardcore. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that. It was really bothering me. But anyway, right. Okay. So yes. So collectibles, really, really, really hardcore decluttering to split up a collection.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's necessary, typically when you're downsizing and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. Oof, this is a hard one as well, Leslie. Furniture that has a history in your family, whether it is a dresser or a coat stand or a desk or a rocking chair for a veranda or a Moses basket where all the babies were, whatever it is, if it's up somewhere in your shed or garage or loft or basement being unused and unloved, can you let it go? Hardcore, let it go. It's not being used.
Yeah, I'm kind of lucky. I do love those kind of things. So I've got a lot of old things in my house that have come from various places, my grandparents. I've not got anything from my parents' house, but it kind of went via my parents, to be fair.
Yeah.
My grandparents, grandfather clock, I've got older things from the owner of the last house we were in, which was a Victorian property. I've got stuff from this one. So I love it, but I've got a Victorian house. And so it lends itself very much to sitting here. And so, but there's one thing that Steve refuses to get rid of, which is in the basement, not on display, which is a desk that his dad made for him when he was a child. So, and it's quite big and he just refuses to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And it's just sitting there gathering dust. And I keep trying to think of ways that I can do something with that that's going to bring it into modern life. Like maybe because Steve goes to loads of concerts and maybe I can kind of cover it over with concert tickets but there's just no space for it at the moment in the house. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard, isn't it? But I know one of the things that a lot of our members really love when they get down to the kind of wire is when furniture starts going out of the house.
Yeah.
So it depends. You know, I'm lucky here because I've kind of got space for a lot of these things. But if you've not got space and you've got to make radical decisions, is an old piece of furniture that's perhaps not optimum storage, is that what you want in your house? Or are you better off with something more modern?
And I think as well as I think what a lot of our members, they go through, you know, this whole transformation, right? And of course, in the past, their thinking was, I have a lot of stuff. I need to buy more furniture to put all the stuff away. So more and more furniture comes into the house, whether it's given or whether it's, you know, bought or whatever it is. And then at one point it's like, but I actually, all this furniture is blocking the way I want my house to feel. And there's less stuff now to put away because I've decluttered a lot of the stuff. I'm being far more realistic in what I'm going to use and love. And then at one point, when we see that furniture leave, we're like, woo, major breakthrough alert, because they're ready now to let that go because there's just not so much stuff. And but also that realism, I have that rocking chair in my house somewhere, but actually it's too big for the room. I love it. It's fantastic, but it's too big for my house. It's too big for the room. It keeps going from one end to the other. And everywhere I put it, it just doesn't fit. And it's working against me instead of working towards where I want to go. So furniture is a big one always.
Definitely. That's our number nine. Only one left, Ingrid.
Yes, one left. And it's also a sharp intake one. Hardcore. Can you get rid of your wedding dress, your communion dress, your baptism dress, your I was a bridesmaid dress, I was the mother of the bride dress, I was my 21st birthday.
What about trousers? What about men?
Oh, yeah. Suits, yeah.
just a suit, yeah. Yeah, this is different. So we're not talking about, you know, a lot of the things we've talked about relating to weddings and engagements and things like that have been kind of negative where relationships have fallen apart. But we're not talking about necessarily a relationship having fallen apart. We're talking about something that's still very special to you because it brings back special memories. But the reason why you might want to let go of it is because it's taken up an awful lot of space. So we've done a whole podcast on wedding dresses, right, Ingrid?
Yeah, yeah. I still have my wedding dress.
Still have my wedding dress. And I tried it on, which was a mistake. Because I was like, why did I put myself through that? But yeah, no, I was 30 years married. And so I was like, yeah, that's a really cool idea. Let me put a wedding dress on. And then I was like, oh, it doesn't even zip up. But get it on my actual arms and bottom bit.
Yeah.
And a zip it up.
Yeah. But maybe, you know, if all this, I think it's not only wedding dresses, it's all the other things as well, all the sentimental clothing. You can have really too much of a good thing. I have nothing. I have nothing from my 40th or 21st or bridesmaid, anything like that. Nothing. I have only the wedding dress. And I think that's the one sentimental item. And of course, I've got the dress that I bought when I was 50, but I've only been 50 like 3 months. So I'm planning on wearing that dress indefinitely again.
Yeah, no. That's not a nostalgic sentimental dress. That's
exactly
like a dress that you could wear.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to you wearing that.
Yeah.
What's the next event? You could wear that to a wedding.
Yeah.
You could totally wear that to a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody didn't see, did we put pictures on the Facebook group of your 50th?
No. I think we shared with our members. Our members saw our pictures.
Oh, pop a picture on the Facebook group. People would like to see that, Ingrid.
I'll think about it.
I could put a picture of me trying on my wedding dress. That would make for a fun content piece, wouldn't it?
Well, if you do that, I will share my 50th birthday pictures. Yeah,
yeah. Those two things are not the same. Like, you can fit in your 50th wedding dress. Like, I cannot fit in my wedding dress that I wore when I was 25. But anyway.
So, Leslie, come clean. Which of these five, after the break, have you got? You definitely have clothes that are not your size. You've already told me that.
And I've got a wedding dress. But I've got furniture. Well, yeah, I suppose then I've got furniture with history, but it's not mine, it's Steve's.
Mm-hmm.
Does that count?
Not really, no.
Yeah, in the winning front, Ingrid will be like, yeah, yeah, that counts. Yeah, so I've got wedding dress in my house. I've got furniture with history. I do not have collectibles. I do have clothes that are not in my size, and I don't have a letter from someone who was unkind. So what's the tally?
I don't have a letter from someone so kind either. Well, I have clothes that are not your size, but about five of them. So I think that is negligible.
No, it's a finite. It's not a kind of like a numbers game. You've either got them or you've not.
Okay. I got them.
Binary.
Collectibles that not on display anymore. Well, yeah, I've got one stamp album with stamps. So that counts. Furniture with history, no. I have one Moses basket that's in the Jansen generation, but that's not mine. That's the Jansen's. So don't have that.
House?
Yes.
Oh, no, that counts because I'm counting the furniture with his tray. If it's in your house, it's yours.
Oh, but I thought you said it because it's Steve's, you're not going to count it, but no, you no, are counting no, it.
I'm going to count it.
Oh, it's well, fine. Then I have to count it too. And yes, I've got the wedding. We're not doing well on this side of the break, Leslie.
So we are, I think we're equal, are we?
Yeah, I think so.
I've got three, Ingrid.
How can you have three?
Because I'm fine with the furniture with history because it's in use. That's not clutter. It's in use. I've got it, but it's in use. And so, and the same with your stamp album. That's, you've chosen that to keep that as a sentimental object. So that's not clutter.
Okay, right. Well, the Moses bust is not clutter either, but it's hopefully not in use anytime soon. Definitely not from me. I can tell you that. Anyway, oh my goodness gracious. Well, I've lost track now. I don't know.
We'll call it even.
Yeah, but I think we're even, actually. I think we're even, which is good.
Everyone's a winner.
Yes, yes. So, listeners, are you feeling brave enough to tell us what you have in your house? Or do you want to share with us what has made you think about this list of 10 things? And maybe you're like, yeah, I need to be brave and get rid of some of this stuff. Let us know either in our Facebook group, go to declutterhub.com/group. Go tell us in the comments under your, if you're watching on YouTube, you can leave us a comment, or if you're listening on our website, declutterhub.com, you can leave us a comment on the podcast page. So we would love to know. So thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you and we see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the Declutter Hub podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us in your podcast player so you don't miss an episode, and we'll see you next week.